Star Tribune Prep Sports content is brought to you by Luther Automotive, Becker Furniture World, and Franzen Bank and Trust.
Hello again, and for the last time in the 2018-2019 high school sports season, I'm Jim Paulson. This is my colleague David Levesque, the very final Talkin' Preps of this year. David, I'm sure that there's tears in both of our eyes for having to end this now. And it'll be hard not to come back on every Wednesday and
that's sweat.
Dispense our wisdom.
I ran to get here on time. That's sweat.
I'm getting it all over the mic. It's dripping with sweat right now. And I think we'll talk a little bit about last week's lacrosse final, last week's baseball through the semifinals. We can mention golf if you'd like to. And then anything else that comes to mind. Let's talk a little bit about golf, first of all. I wasn't out there. You covered a little golf. What stood out to you?
Well, it was pretty remarkable in the sense that your hang on a second. Do a little music or something, Jim, while I pull up my notes on this.
Well, the thing
song
that,
and
thing
dance
routine. The thing that stood out to me, and I wasn't out there, was that Leah Herzog has been hands down the best girls golfer in the state.
Red Wing kid.
For the past year and possibly for the past 2 years. But my goodness, she just can't seem to put it all together in the state meet, while her teammate, Sophie Yeomans, who is as good, almost as good as Leah, seems to be a real big game, or I guess big match kind of player, big tournament kind of player, because she's now won 3 straight championships in a row. Although I think Herzog won the Miss Golf Award, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah, I think, and I was at Bunker Hills for day 2 in Coon Rapids, and I think the biggest story in my mind coming out of there was also a female golfer, Isabella McCauley. She's a ninth grader at Simley High School, and she won the 3A title. She tied a 3A record with a 135, and that's 9 under par. And she was the only female golfer under par for the day and 9 under. So she was spectacular for those 2 days. And her coach said that, boy, 7th and 8th grade, she just wanted to do everything right now and everything was rushed. And he said, you saw a golfer mature as the 9th grade season went on, and then it culminated with a tremendous state meet.
Sounds like she has a golfing background, which it contributes to it. Does she have a father that is a golf coach or something along those lines?
Didn't get into all that. I got
usually when you see talent at a young age, there are people that come from a real golfing family, and so it doesn't surprise me. I was more surprised by the fact that Leah Herzog, for everything she's accomplished, can't win a state individual championship. She's been fantastic. That stood out to me.
Yeah, and then on the girls' side, as a team, Chan Hassan won their first title. On the boys' side, Edina won first time since 2014, and the individual.
It's not that long of a time, but okay.
5 years?
You know, it's to go five.
That's a whole high school career. That's
the
legit.
The first time since. Usually get the first time since 1982 or something. The first time in 5 years.
Well, there's like it's dog years and human years, high school years.
Then
5 years
Edina
is
years.
A long time.
You know, you go a whole 5 years without winning a golf championship. I suppose that there were some questions being raised.
And then the boys, little history is made. Stillwater, first individual or team champ of any kind. His name is Brock Winter. He won the boys' 3A individual title.
The thing that also stood out to me is in Class 1A, team out of Wilmer, I believe it was called Community Christian, is that the right name, won the boys' Class 1A title. And they list, according to the High School League website, I think it was
32, I believe.
Kids?
32 kids, yep.
Really? I'm going to look that up again. I almost swear it was in the 20s. But that, cause that's a very, very small school to win a team championship. I think Brett Reed won the championship. And it's a school in Wilmer. There's a Greg Reed that also scored pretty high for the team. And the coach's last name is also Reed. So I'm feeling that's another golfing family, and they've benefited there. So anyway, it's that stood out when you have a real small school win a state championship. Congratulations to them. So anyway, moving right along to lacrosse, between boys lacrosse, girls lacrosse, which frankly are two very unsimilar games. They have the same set up. You know, you play with a cross and a ball, and you're throwing into a net, and you're playing on a field. But my goodness, these games couldn't be any more different in terms of what boys are allowed to do and what girls aren't, what girls are or are not allowed to do. I didn't see the championship game because I was covering baseball, but Prior Lake beat Eden Prairie in the girls' championship. It's the second straight year that Eden Prairie has lost in the finals. And Eden Prairie has been kind of the standard setter for a long time. But in covering the first two rounds, I didn't see that there was any real difference between those two teams. As a matter of fact, you knew that Prior Lake matched up with Eden Prairie extremely well, and they showed it in the finals.
Well, all I had known, because I was sticking with the boys in the first two rounds, what I did know about Prior Lake and Eden Prairie came from looking at it. It was a two-point Eden Prairie win during the regular season, and they were impressed, or at least knew that Prior Lake was going to be able to play a physical brand of game that was going to be a little bit tough for Eden Prairie. And I only do the boys' championship game, so I showed up to Chanhassen High School just a little way into the second half of the girls' game. And the first thing you see as you come over the hill in the parking lot, you look down into the bowl and you can see the scoreboard. And I think the score at the time was something like 12-7. And I remember thinking, and I don't know who's who yet, because all it says on there is like
Home, you know,
Storm and Guest or whatever. So I don't know who's who, but I did not either way expect that kind of a spread. I just thought it was going to be a nip and tuck, one, maybe two goal type of game, and then it was going to come down to something at the end. And Prior Lake, to their credit, they got up and they stayed up and really left no doubt who the top team in girls lacrosse was.
And again, like I said, they matched up so well. Both teams had tremendous midfielders who can control the draw. They've got scorers. They've got good defense. And both teams had good goalies, too. So yeah. It was just a matter of I hate to say it because it's so cliche, but which team was more enthused or wanted it more? And it sure seemed after the games, when I interviewed both teams, that Prior Lake seemed a little bit more enthused and a little bit more focused to want to go out and win a state championship. Not that Eden Prairie didn't, but you could just see that there was that desire, that motivation on Prior Lake's part, and they proved it. Tell me about the boys' final. Prior Lake makes it a sweep.
It was a good day to be a Prior Lake Laker. The boys, it was an interesting rematch on the boys' side because it was Prior Lake as the 2 seed, just like last year, and Benilde St. Margaret, the 1 seed, and undefeated. So we've got those things happening. And you think, all right, you know, and they'd played earlier in the year, and Benilde St. Margaret won 4-3 in overtime. So you're thinking, again, tight game and this and that. And Prior Lake just did a great job in all facets. You know, neither team, whether it was Bladoff for Prior Lake or Van Overbeek for Benilde St. Margaret's, they weren't their run-and-gun high-scoring selves. It came down to who was going to make the little plays, who was going to play, you know, the guys that you don't normally think of as the all-metro caliber guys, the all-state caliber guys. And that's what you got. It was the Prior Lake goalie and the Prior Lake face-off specialist were the two guys that stood out the most for Prior Lake. Those are the kinds of performances you need to get a championship, and that's what they were able to get and win their third in 4 years. So they have established themselves as the premier lacrosse program in the state.
That's lacrosse central out there. Colin Nauerts, the goalie,
for
Prior Lake. I have wondered for a long time why there didn't appear to me. Now, I don't know anything about what goes on behind the scenes, but it appeared to me in lacrosse, and this is a personal opinion, that the position of goaltender can sometimes be an afterthought because it's a very difficult position to play. Oftentimes, the goalie is just seems like he's kind of a sacrificial lamb. But Nauerts had a tremendous game. Anytime you stop 10 of 13 shots against a team of Benilde's caliber in a game like that, man, you're doing something right. He had a game, it sounds like.
Yeah, he was spectacular. And Benilde, when they weren't missing the net by inches, they were hitting him. I mean, he was everywhere he needed to be. And, you know, it doesn't show up so much in the box score, but he did a good job on some of those saves about getting out and getting the ball moving and getting him into their transition. And so he was a threat in every way you'd want a goalie to be a threat. The one thing I'll say about the overall championship Saturday, I think that they've done a really good job bringing in the lacrosse enthusiasts, and they had a good showing at Chanhassen. But to me, if you want to go to the next level and you want to make it more of an event that others might be apt to come and see. You got to change the venue. As nice as Chanhassen is, boy, this thing at TCO Stadium at the Vikings practice facility in Eagan, I think that would rev it up a notch. And so now if you're a lacrosse person, you're going to be there anyway. But now you might say, hey, I want to check this out. And this is a little bit more centrally located venue on a campus that people maybe still haven't seen and maybe would like to. I think that's the next level. And it'd be nice. There's been no chatter about moving it there. But, boy, I think that would add a lot to it.
Yeah, and this is not taking anything away from Chanhassen. It's a terrific facility out there, but it is a ways away from the metro out in the southwest metro out there, and it can be a long drive for people if they want to come from the northeast side of things. And so I can see what you're saying. And TCO, people want to go there. It's the Vikings. Anybody wants to go there just to say, hey, the Vikings train here. That's an added plus. We've got the state baseball championship series coming up on Thursday at Target Field. Four classes of baseball, championship games in 1, 2, 3, and 4A. I covered the class 4A quarterfinals and semifinals at CHS Field in St. Paul, which in itself is a terrific venue for baseball. And you can tell the kids really like playing there, but getting to play where the Twins play is pretty special. One of the kids from New Prague who's playing in the final, the 4A final against Eastridge, told me that it's so amazing. His team has had, or his family has had, Twins season tickets for a long, long time. And, you know, they share them with people, but he's probably gone to 50, 60 games over the past few years. And now to be playing there himself is pretty amazing. And he even said, to pat ourselves on the back a little bit, one of the things he said that was so cool about getting to the championship was that on Sunday, we did a big roundup of Joe Mauer's uniform number being retired. And everybody wrote tributes to Mauer, and there was a big Mauer presence. There was also, in the same page, same paper, a presence for the New Prague baseball team. And then this outfielder for New Prague, Joe Weir, said it was the coolest thing ever to open up the Star Tribune and see Joe Mauer, an idol, recognized on a big spread. And on the same paper, the New Prague baseball team being recognized on the big spread. And that, to me, says an awful lot about that team. They're small-town boys with a dream. That's what they call each other. And it's hard not to root for these guys because they're still wide-eyed and still, you know, thrilled to be where they are, yet they're not nervous at all. They're playing great baseball. And this is what you like to see in a state tournament, a team representing their community where all the kids are coming together. The townsfolk are all going to be here at Target Field. And not taking anything away from Eastridge, a team that deserves to be there because they've been nothing if not resilient. But, you know, it's a neat story to see New Prague get to the state championship game.
Yeah, they're the romantic pick, most definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, all we root for is no bad weather and no overtimes.
No games scheduled the next day.
So we'll be happy for Eastridge if that's how it goes. But, yeah, going in, there is something about New Prague that is tantalizing for sure.
In Class 3A, St. Thomas Academy, and they're playing Benilde St. Margaret's, a couple of private schools. But they're in Class 3A, which is where they should be. They're up, you know, they're not hogging the 2A spotlight. There's two more private schools in the Class 2A final, Duluth Marshall, whose only loss this entire season has been to the team they're going to play in the championship game, Minnehaha Academy. Duluth Marshall is 25-1, but they lost to Minnehaha in April. And Minnehaha has won two of the last three state championships, but Duluth Marshall was in the championship game last year. So two teams that expected to get this far, that should be a great game. And what game will you be covering, David?
New York Mills.
And Bold.
And 1A against Bold. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's, they're
again, both, two town teams?
Yeah, both playing well, and be fun to see what shakes out, and probably the one game that is a shoe-in to get played in its entirety and before the weather comes in and maybe becomes a factor.
Oh, shame on you for bringing that up.
Sorry.
Shame on
Sorry.
You for jinxing us with that. Getting four games in a day is enough to ask. I saw that in the quarterfinals where we were, I think, in Class 4A, where I think we were 2.5 hours behind. A game that was supposed to be starting at 5:30, but didn't start till 8:05. And there really wasn't anything that bogged us down other than just the length of the games being played. So we got to cross our fingers and hope that the games at Target Field go off without any weather interruptions. And then after that, that's pretty much it for the high school season. The games will be done. We'll be bidding you farewell for about a month and a half and coming back in early August. There was one other thing that crossed my mind that I wanted to mention, and I don't know if it's on Saturday. We've got the NHL draft, the NHL entry draft. And in this draft, there's an awful lot of attention being paid to American-born players. A lot of them are at the top of the draft list, but at least for North American skaters. Guys like names like Jack Hughes and Alex Turcotte, Trevor Zegras, Cole Caulfield, Matthew Boldy, and Cam York.
Doing it all without notes again.
And there's a goalie, Spencer Knight, that's the top of the list as well. And the thing that crossed my mind is that this is the state of hockey. We churn out more hockey players. We have more hockey players in the NHL than any other state in the union. We churn out a ton of college players, yet none of these players that are being drafted are Minnesotans or at the top of the list. Not that there's not a few Minnesotans in the NHL Central Scouting top 100. There are. I mean, Bobby Brink, formerly of Minnetonka, is number 19. It just seemed strange to me that for the state of hockey that we haven't gotten one of our Minnesotans at the top of that list in the top 10, particularly when they're so strong in North American players. I'm not going to ask why, because there's too many reasons possibly, and it might just be one of those things. But doesn't it seem odd to you that there should be at least one of them should be a Minnesota player?
Yes and no. I mean, like you pointed, a lot of those names you pointed out played at the Ann Arbor National Development Team Program, or National Team Development Program. I always get that anagram screwed up backwards. I don't know how much we've seen Minnesota involved in that program in recent years. And I don't know, I've not talked to anybody about what reasons for that there may be, and because it is an individual's decision. If Ann Arbor comes calling for Jim Paulson, you're going to talk to your family and you're going to talk to your advisor, family advisor, and you're going to hear from them. It's not like you call the powers that be with Minnesota hockey and say, what do you guys think? Yeah. So I don't know what has kept more families from not making that making that decision. And it owes to the way that the top athletes in non-traditional hockey states are better utilizing an outlet where they can get that consistent competition and get that showcase, and they're great athletes, and they happen to be playing hockey, and now they're at a place where they can turn into something good for their career. That those could be reasons. I feel like, and some of the names may be escaping me, but if you look at the Mr. Hockey Banquet, which is designed to recognize the top seniors, I don't feel like you had this really long list of players you would point to and say, oh, yeah, but so-and-so isn't here. So I think that more of the top-end Minnesota guys were local, and for whatever reason, what they were doing through the Minnesota development model wasn't catching the same eyeballs as a Bobby Brink who left early and went to the USHL, or Jackson Lacombe that went through the Shattuck-St. Mary's route. So those could all be pieces of that puzzle.
Well, that's an excellent point, take that you had in pointing out the fact that we have outlets for hockey that in other places they don't have. I mean, some of these names that I had mentioned, one's from Florida, Jack Hughes is from Florida, one is from California, one is from Illinois. They have opportunities to play hockey, obviously, but they don't have the hockey infrastructure that we have here with the state high school tournament, which is, obviously that's the pinnacle of hockey for the amateur high school kid in this state. And so I think that probably makes a difference. Is you're not on the national team development program, which gets a lot of scouts, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are very connected to that. Not that the high school game doesn't get scouted heavily here, it sure, certainly does, but the priorities are a little bit different, and we have an outlet for the best players, and they don't need to go there to develop their skills. I think that, if anything, that makes, I think that would be a reason why, but again, I don't want to pretend I'm connected to hockey because this is just an outsider's observation. I think that's about everything we've got. Thanks for joining us all year long. I sure do appreciate your downloading us and listening to us. And we'll be back in August with the next edition.
Feeding the football beast.
Of Talking Preps. Thanks so much.